Hello, Capricorn, and welcome to your mid-year reading for 2025, now the autumn reading. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino. This reading is for Capricorn, Sun, Moon, Rising, or Chiron. All will work. And I want to go over what has changed since the spring, and also before that, with the Awakening 2025 annual reading. A lot has moved. A lot has developed. I want to thank you also for being patient with this reading. It has really felt like moving through molasses. I've basically devoted my summer to it, and I honestly can't believe it's taken this long. But I am doing my best and bringing in the most original and alive and relevant readings that I possibly can. All right, so I will perk up and let's get this party started. So Capricorn has a special role in astrology in that it represents the most dense layer of earthly reality. It basically represents the crust of the earth and the mountains and the things that are the most solid about our planet, and by extension, the most solid about in comparison to what they represent in consciousness. So Capricorn is the sign of all that is solid in terms of, you know, the planet that we live on and its features, as well as things like the structures inside of cities, the structures of governments, the structures of family. It's all about structures. And as Rick Levine pointed out, when you Saturn's ruled by Capricorn, and I can't quite see it right now, but it's kind of a combination, Saturn, kind of a combination of an S and a T, and there's always something about structure going on with Capricorn. And what is happening now, what's been happening for approximately the past 30, 35 years, is that everything that utilizes and relies upon structure is basically crumbling or melting. And this is not easy. It is not easy to, you know, take a step and then the bottom falls out. It's a little like in Twin Peaks when Agent Cooper is running around behind the scenes in the Black Lodge, and the floor is doing this. He's trying to walk on the floor, and the floor is cut in strips, and it's going up and down. Only in our case, it's you kind of step on it, and the bottom gives out. And we associate this usually with Pluto having come through Capricorn between 2008 and 2024, but it goes back a lot further than that. And I want to just, mention that for a second, though I don't think I have any charts to demonstrate it. I will use the blank wheel, which we're going to start with. In fact, before we get there, there were a series of conjunctions in 1993. Conjunctions of two outer planets, Uranus and Neptune, exactly contained in the year 1993. And this represents, if you know any young people and you're familiar with their sense that nothing is solid, nothing is trustworthy, this is around where that began. This was really though we did not know it at the time, it was the warning that this other world was going to arise, and that world is the digital world. And I'm preparing a message of some kind, an article or a video or possibly both, about this very troubling generation gap between kids born in the 80s and their parents born in the 50s. There's a lot of estrangement between kids born in the 80s and their parents born in the 50s, and it is quite troubling. And this is worse than it's worse than the generation gap between the kids who were, for example, born in the 40s, coming of age in the 60s, and their parents born in the 1920s who served in World War II, the fathers, because at least we could say, well, the children, adult children, you know, teenagers, rejecting this concept of what they perceive to be an unjust war, and people pretty much agree that World War II was worth fighting. That's a whole other story, but let's go with the prevailing cultural mythology. The World War II was worth it and was fighting the good cause, but Vietnam, no, Vietnam, not so much, just randomly bombing a little country in Southeast Asia, in fact, several little countries, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam, and those kids born in the 40s and 50s rebelled, and it was at least understandable to see that there was a generation gap between the people who fought and won World War II versus the ones who were protesting against the Vietnam War. And there had never been a time when the countercultural movement was so strong. And, you know, you had all of these young people who were experimenting with all kinds of things, and the birth control pill had come out, and it was like a whole different world. That, to me, was an understandable generation gap. But the generation gap between people born in the 50s and their kids born in the 80s, it's challenging to understand this. And the kids born in the 50s had a lot of experiences, and they themselves experienced a generation gap. And part of what was going on, part of what was behind that was a conjunction in Capricorn between Uranus and Neptune. Uranus and Neptune. And if you think of what should be the stability of Capricorn and an influence even as destabilizing as either of those planets in Capricorn. Well, you can see we've got something going on here. But when you combine them, that's even more destabilizing. And so what I'm getting at here in a slightly roundabout way is that Capricorn is something we depend upon for stability. We depend upon it for structure. But since the early 1990s, when these planets arrived in Capricorn, there has been this crumbling of known reality. And the thing that we count upon the most, Capricorn, that represents the things we count on the most, the structures of society, the banks, the stock market, the stalwart corporations that America's backbone was built on, Standard Oil and all. The stability of the government, on every level, the stability of the family on every level. The crumbling, it certainly begins after World War II. The atomic bomb is being used, and we're being told that that you can just kind of split the atom and matter turns into energy. But it's in the 90s that the bottom starts to fall out. Saturn was involved too. There's kind of a triple conjunction very, very early in Capricorn, and then it reforms as Uranus and Neptune. And so that conjunction leads to 9/11. When I sat down for one of my first astrology lessons with David Arner, this is in the summer of 1995 or so, maybe the spring of 95, he pulled out a chart for the Uranus-Neptune conjunction, and he said, we're going to see the effects in 7 years. 7 years. And right after that, we're all watching the World Trade Center fall down. And so I cannot stress enough how painful it is to be alive now, because we can absolutely not trust anything, and we keep putting our trust back in things, and then they keep knocking down the World Trade Center over and over and over again. And the current World Trade Center that is falling down is consciousness, is creativity. You probably do not recognize how many trillion dollars are being put into data centers that are consuming earth and water and the human spirit and human life to replicate thought in such a way that couldn't even imitate the action of a sheepdog, which only has one thing to do, which is to herd sheep. And they think they're promising they're going to cure cancer and solve climate change and, you know, design a rocket ship that goes to Mars using this thing. And so we are in collapses of everything, basically, so total that we don't even see them anymore. And this has extended through Pluto in Capricorn, which ended in late 2024. And now there are other influences in Capricorn that I will get to when I turn the page in a moment. You are a Capricorn in some form, or at least you're curious about it and you love people. And if you're not a Capricorn, Sun, Moon, Rising, or Chiron, you have a good reason to be here, which is that you are probably either a very serious astrology fan or astrology student, maybe even an astrologer. And you know what I mean when I say that the bottom is falling out. We are walking on thin ice. And the structure now that has been come after is the mind, the ultimate structure, the ultimate thing that holds together the reality that we are living. Because without the mind, there is no sanity. Without the mind, there is nothing to perceive of reality and to even determine what is real and what is not. And I'm not talking about this as a technological issue. I'm talking about it as the most important spiritual issue. I was never expecting to talk about this. Completely blindsided me, as it blindsided a great many people. I had been busy studying the digital environment, not the artificial intelligence environment. And this past Sunday was the 70th anniversary of the concept of artificial intelligence. And we are living out this collapse. And as a Capricorn, you are likely to be keenly aware that you are living out this collapse to the degree where it wouldn't vaguely surprise me if you were doing something like prepping, because you can feel the vortex opening up beneath you. Okay, so now that we've got the history of the Uranus-Pluto, the Uranus-Neptune conjunction, and the Uranus-Neptune-Saturn conjunction, all of which is going on basically in the early to mid-90s, like 93 to 96, and then Pluto coming through right after that, basically, that would be 08 to 2024. Let's take a look at your full solar chart. Now, I've only got slow movers in. We could add Mars. Mars is at the very top. I've added that in red. Mars should be there. It's a Capricorn planet. And it's going to be very active over the next couple of weeks. And we can see now that there's still all this new stuff in Capricorn. It's been there a while. It's not that new, but compared to, you know, the 90s, compared to 2008 to 2024, it's pretty new. It overlaps quite a bit with Pluto, which was here when this started forming. And so we're not done with society collapsing. And we don't really know how far this can go. And I have been analyzing this group as what I call the family Hunger Games arrangement. Capricorn is the sign of family. All of this movement through Capricorn has been very, very challenging on the structure known as family. the world, much of the world still does, but we, for example, Americans, we in the Western world have heavily relied upon the family. I suspect the situation is far worse in the United States than it is every place else. There's always been a little sketchy relationship between Americans and family, particularly in the post-World War II world. And now, basically, there is nothing vaguely resembling any form of a traditional family structure, whether that was the extended family of the pre-World War and the war itself, and then this thing they call the nuclear family during the nuclear age, this kind of fabrication that didn't work too good and was kind of falling apart even as it was coming together. The divorce rates start to go up in the 50s under the influence of the nuclear family. It's not really holding together. And then all through the 1950s, when many of you were born, it was like, well, better living through chemistry and the hydrogen bomb things just falling apart. And now here we are in yet another stage of things falling apart, but it's very much focused on the family theme. Folus, three generations, Quat War, all the way back to the beginning, Cupido, which involves gathering points of any kind, and Ixion, which is this influence of basically total cruelty, this influence of cruelty and amorality. And now that I understand the AI issue, by which I mean now that I understand the 70-year history of AI, and now that I understand the history of this company called OpenAI, and what has been going on in the United States for the past approximately 5 years, even a little bit longer, 5-7 years, all living in the background of all of these distracting Me Too events, 18 months of nonstop Me Tooing people on the front page of the New York Times, followed by 2 years of incredible, ridiculous drama about a pandemic and about a vaccine. All in the background of that, deep in the background of that, has been unfolding this scenario of this once and final takeover of not only society, but the mind by this computing technology. It absolutely fits. It is a runaway train like Folus. It is completely out of control. And the question is, how do you feel in the midst of this, and what are you doing for grounding and stability? So this has gone on now for nearly 40 years, and it's gone on at full strength for nearly 40 years. That's fucking crazy to think that we've lived through an astrological phase that long. Till recently, the longest orbit planet was yours, Saturn, 29 years. And now suddenly we're looking at conditions that have largely prevailed for two generations. It is wild. So one of the interesting things about the Capricorn solar chart is that the cardinal cross meets you as a vertical. Horizontal also. But this very important element of the cardinal cross, the Aries-Libra axis, runs vertical to you. It runs at right angle to you. And vertical is a very important form of stability. And with so much going on you could fill in this whole thing with the planets that have passed through here. With so much going on in Capricorn on a basically permanent basis. I mean, the points that are in Capricorn right now are going to be there for another at least 15 years. Let's just add that as a reminder of what's going on. Got a little red in there. Normally, in an earthquake zone, you want to find a stable place. And one of the most important things to understand about Capricorn is where you stabilize in your process of self-becoming is downward. Capricorn is supposed to be the mountain goat running upward, tumbling, eating a lot of mountain daisies, arnica, Montana. Not Hannah, but arnica. And yet we find this crucial direction of evolution, this crucial direction of travel to be downward, presumably toward a stabilizing, grounded influence of being grounded in yourself. And then as an outcome of that, being, let's say, aligned in your relationships. But if we're to look at the grounding in yourself, this has become very tricky. And it too has snuck up on us. So this is the activity in Aries. I should probably make a kind of a big blown up version of this chart, but let me put it a little closer here. And we've got our six slow moving planets. I am not stretching to add to come up with these. I didn't have to like look at a list of 5,000 asteroids and pick out a couple just to show you how many there are in Capricorn. These are planets that I have been tracking well through their time in Pisces, Eris, which is right here, has been in Aries for 100 years, more than 100 years. Chiron has been in Aries since 2018. And then Neptune and Saturn are recently new arrivals. But the thing is this, that you are seeking stability of self. You are seeking the consistency of who you are through a solid relationship with yourself. That's your point of grounding. That's your point of security. Fourth house, grounding and security. And yet it too is an earthquake zone. So it's like you're living in an earthquake zone no matter where you go, no matter what you do. And, you know, early in the Pluto in Capricorn phase, there have been a lot of famous earthquakes lately. The Earth is always moving. I thought, well, if you're going to live in an earthquake zone, it's probably better to live in a tent and don't pitch your tent under any big trees and keep it away from like potentially falling objects. The other interesting thing, I don't know what the metaphor of the tent would be for you, but maybe something will come to us. The other thing about fourth place is it has a lot to do with family, but so too does your sign. And so you are experiencing this radical instability of family through the shakeup after shakeup, generation after generation in Capricorn, including the possibility of your children not talking to you. I would say chances are one third of people born in the 50s are experiencing the situation of their children not talking, at least one of their kids not talking to them. You're having to create the stability yourself. You're having to basically be your own stability. And this is not easy. We've all of our lives had things we could rely on. We had parents we could rely on. We had therapists we could rely on. We had institutions we could rely on, organizations we could rely on, friendships we could rely on. And the digital environment has undermined all of that. And it's not a coincidence that I track the digital environment. Really, the twin crime scenes of the digital environment are Capricorn, what digital has done to our institutions, and Aries, what digital has done to our sense of self. And this is changing and moving very, very quickly. Now, the fourth is about security. And I will concede that we have lived a lot of false concepts of security for many years. We have lived false concepts of security. and that a lot of what has crumbled under the influence of one transit after the next through Capricorn are our false, our false sense of security. You know, for me, it gives me security that the post office exists and functions. And one of the reasons why I like listening to the Police Scanner is to hear society functioning. It's not that I'm so interested in, like, you know, who got pulled over or who's responding to a fire, who's having difficulty breathing. To me, the message of the medium of listening to the police scanner, the EMS scanner, is it's just society functioning. I love listening in snowstorms. Society is functioning. And it's interesting that I won't say that I cling to that, but in a certain way, I do cling to the remaining vestiges of civil order, of civil society, and they're getting very difficult to find. I mean, and the, when we talk about one's sense of self being destabilized, one's sense of family being destabilized, one's society being destabilized, the passage of time being completely shaken up, and parts of our country, you know, increasingly becoming kind of like third worldish. What really is there to cling to? And so, the silver lining of all of this, Aries, is that it will compel you to get with yourself in a new way, to find your inner stability in a new way. And it is coming at you full strength. It really, really is coming at you full strength. The where I was going, oops, purple headband, where I was going was with Eris, which has moved through Aries for a century, and that false sense of security that we've kind of been lulled into in a lot of ways by the media environment represented by Eris and Aries for the past 100 years. Well, we are getting wake-up call after wake-up call that the concept of society presented to us that has made us seem as if we could feel safe, that's the thing that's being shaken up the most. That with that, the rude awakening of Chiron conjunct Eris is happening very distinctly. That there is so much that is being revealed as not true that people doubt that anything is true at all. And in a way, you can't blame them, but eventually that turns on itself and you're forced to question whether, well, maybe not forced to question. It happens without questioning. The determination, whether you like it or not, that if none of this is real, you must not be real. But it's not in a spiritually cohesive way. This is not the kind of thing that can be made into a tidy sermon on a Sunday. How many of those are there? So we've got a situation on our hands. So where exactly do you find refuge? I have to say that of all of the 12 signs, Capricorn's is aligned in one of the most challenging ways. The challenges are the most likely to be confronting you in ways that you're really going to feel, that are very personal, very internal, very inward, and somewhere between challenging and threatening your entire worldview, then where do you go? Well, there's a number of places where you can go. One of them is to stay busy. And not busy with busy work, but rather busy with what you know needs to get done. And we see that with Uranus moving into Gemini. This will be a little process. It entered. It's going to go back into Taurus for a little while, where it's been for 7 years. And then it's going to go back into Gemini. And the sixth place, Gemini, for you, is the house of service and also of wellness. Wellness and work and wellness is the easy way to remember the sixth house. I had service there because very often for people, work is separate from service. And work needs to be more coalesced with the concept of service. But you might need that concept added, work, wellness, and service. And Uranus is inventive. Uranus also involves a group. And Uranus in Gemini involves technology. We know this from a even cursory look at a timeline of the Uranus and Gemini the last time around, which was 1941 to 1949. That was computer science basically going from putting along at 5 miles an hour to 100 miles an hour at the end, and we're once again in that. Now, I don't really meet many of my readers or clients who are actually into technology. They more seem to struggle with how do you send an email? How do you log into your account? Nonetheless, there's an important theme of technology and your involvement in technology. And by that, I mean, it would be wise of you not to think you're going to solve the whole problem by only having a phone and you're going to turn the phone off and you're going to do everything on your phone. Lately, I've been likening that to trying to cross the ocean in a storm in a raft, because the internet is an ocean and there's definitely a storm and you need more than a raft to get across that ocean safely. So a lot of people are shrinking down and trying to get into this real little space. You don't necessarily want to be big, but you want your vessel to be seaworthy, and you want it to be enough that you can connect with people. That's Uranus, that's groups. One of the themes that has followed Uranus through its discovery and its hypothetical assignment to Aquarius as a ruling planet, and then also then Rick Tarnas proposing that it really should be called Prometheus. One thing about Uranus is it is about groups, and therefore it is about group collaboration. And that shows up other ways. So consider that. And if this is not group collaboration for the sake of meetings where you sit around and discuss things and all that. I mean real group collaboration on real projects like fixing people's homes, moving people, not just studying food preparation, but actually doing food preparation. You don't need a canning class. What you need is for there to be a canning project where people leave the project with food and knowing how to put the food in the bottles and preserve it, for example. Okay, let's talk about what else is going on. So here again, we see a point of focus. Pluto in Aquarius. That was an 18-month transition from, I believe, June of 2023 out to November of 2024. It was a very long transition. Pluto made 3 ingresses into Aquarius. Normally, an outer planet only makes 2 ingresses into the new sign. And this is about stabilizing your value system in a time of tremendous change. More so, it is about maintaining the public trust. There's something here about maintaining being an agent, a delegate of an officer of the public trust. Now, you may not have the interest in being like the secretary of the Kiwanis Club or whatever it may be, but I am suggesting something actually like that, that you be the person who keeps the community chest, that you be the person who is who has some responsibility for ethical guidance of some group environment. So we now have got a theme of group environments opening up. The theme of group environments opens up in air sign Gemini with Uranus. That's a group influence. And this is about, this is a very, six is a very busy house. And the second, Aquarius, that's a group environment. Pluto bringing a form of radical focus and radical awareness to the this group environment. Both spiritualizing influences, perhaps Pluto a little bit more so, but this is like finding the soul in the group and bringing together the soulful group, Pluto in Aquarius, in the second house. And there's something here about having stable but adaptable values in times when there's all this radical change, 40 frickin' years of change, and all of this kind of, you know, wild instability, but also radical awakening in the form of Chiron conjunct Eris, radical awakening in the form of Chiron conjunct Eris, and radical awakening in ways that are meaningful to your security, to your ability to ground yourself in the world and feel like you belong in the world. Now, I realize this is getting hard. This is getting tricky. And so much is changing that it's incomprehensible. And while things are changing, there's very little old stuff that we can still count on. This is a very, very trying time to be alive. And I think we need to admit that and make a measure of peace with that. But the thing is that it is all the harder when we are alone. We're not doing the group thing here and the group thing there. So developing the group theme, let's go up to Scorpio. 11th is your house of groups. It's a little bit Aquarius-ish, but more, even more so. And this is a point called Apollon. It's one of those special points, slow mover, ultra slow mover, point without a body. And this is a basically a point of success. It's a point of being able to move the energy, to being able to move science, technology, commerce, trade of all kinds. So it's a very affirmative sigil of purpose, a sigil of movement, a sigil of the development of, it's really got a lot to do with commerce. And it speaks to the point of you getting together with people for a purpose. There's a lot of getting together that goes on that's not for a purpose, or it's like the jet ski races that came to town the other day here. Oh, okay, that's for a purpose, but not for much of one. Jet ski races one day a year, and to have all this work. I mean a continuous purpose, a purpose that is that we agree is a necessary purpose. Look, all right, jet ski races, that's fun. I mean, people had fun for one day. But I'm talking much, much, much deeper, where one thing can lead to another thing, and where there is a net gain instead of, in effect, a net loss of everyone flying up from Puerto Rico and Florida with their jet skis or driving up or whatever to have a day of jet ski races. This is the exact opposite of what I'm getting at in terms of a social purpose, the use of the social environment for a purpose. This is Scorpio. It runs deep. And the bonds of Scorpio also run deep. Okay, so what else have we got going on? Let's consider your personal relationship activities and your personal career activities. So this is a centaur called Asbolus. It's supposed to look like this, but when I write the glyph in kind of print script, it no longer looks like the A with the oval beneath it. It looks like a little sailboat. That is a centaur involving survival. It is a centaur involving the will of all living things to survive. it is important to see where that influence extends into your relationships and into your partnerships. There is no doubt that it's going to be an influence in your relationships and in your partnerships to have that. But how is it manifesting? And do you have sufficient common values with the people in your life about the need, the impulse, the drive to survive? And why? And why? In the Chiron Return chronology of the 2020 crisis, I lead with a quote by Joel Calvin Simmons, the poet who came up with the turn of phrase Book of Blue, because he wrote a thing called The Book of Blue, which is a book of sonnets. And he says in The Book of Blue, he says, you know, I'm not so concerned about longevity. To me, the question is, what's it for? And we could ask the same question with S. Bolus, which is going to represent the attempt to be to have longevity, the relationship to have longevity, the purpose of survival. Well, what is that for? Like, why are we doing that? So you want to be able to get to the point with partners where you can honestly have that conversation. Chaos is also there. Two very slow movers. These are two very slow movers. Again, no fast movers in this whole chart, except I brought in Mars, and we're going to get to that next. There's certainly plenty of chaos, but there's very little creative chaos. There's very little sense of the firmament. There is much more a sense of a black hole swallowing everything than there is a sense of rich potential coming out of this kind of boiling delicious sauce that you're going to be able to make 20 different things with. So the question is about, in terms of relationships, the orientation on the chaos of the world. Obviously, some of it's going to infiltrate into the relationship, but the love has to prevail in that situation for the relationship to be worth doing. And I would suggest that that's the place to place your emphasis. Additionally, how could we possibly forget Jupiter? Jupiter's here, as is another special point. But let's focus on Jupiter. There's a significant protective influence going on with Jupiter. Jupiter by mid 2026, Jupiter is going to be in Leo, so we've got about eight months left of Jupiter in Cancer. It's going to go retrograde soon. And this is saying, gather your rosebuds while you may, make hay while the sun shines, and all of that, and take advantage of the situations that you have while you have them. Take advantage of the points of growth and the opportunities to connect with people while you have them. And Jupiter is a very important influence in your chart. It represents many local spaces, and it represents many non-physical spaces. This would say take the chance to meet people who you know from the internet. Additionally, locally, but with the 12th house ruling the internet, all things overwhelming and so big you can't see them and so high you can't get over them and all that. That's manifesting for you in a very direct way. And so this is saying, make these bonds that you have with people on the internet real to the extent that you can do so. Okay, let's talk about professional aims. This is not very strongly emphasized in your chart at this time. The emphasis of your chart, as you can see here, is in grounding. And I'm not having a biased selection of planets. I'm just using the planets I normally use. And as it turns out, most of them are kind of down. But we have Mars up, and Mars is about to line up with this point called Zeus, and Zeus is opposite Chiron, Eris. There is some large moment of awakening happening, and the timing on that is this all lines up on September 21st, and it's likely to be a before and after moment. You'll have this on September 2nd, so you'll have 19 days to work with this information and have a sense of what is developing on September 21st. But be aware that that is happening, and that that's going to kind of set something free, perhaps. It's a very difficult time to think of the future right now because it's questionable whether it exists. And I think this is largely a function of the uncertainty that we've been thrown into by these, 5 or 10 billionaires who think that they and their employees should have jobs and nobody else should have jobs. Which is kind of crazy that the elite has gotten down to like 1,000 people who think that, yeah, we should work and the rest of you shouldn't work. But additionally, the mortgaging of the future with debt that will never, ever be paid back. It'll never be paid back. There's no way to pay back like hundreds of trillions of dollars in debt. And so that too is creating a sense in some metaphysical way, right? It's not that you're in debt $100 trillion, but you bear a certain portion of that. You're expected to, repay part of that, even if it's not your personal debt. It's going to go with your taxes, your work. You're going to be trying to do this. Made to do it, compelled to do it. So how do you envision the rest of your life? This is really a very serious question. I could almost call the 2026 annual edition the future? Question mark? I'm at the stage where I'm trying to come up with a name for it. The future? Is there one? Well, there has to be one. We're still alive. We're still on the planet. We've still got things to do every day. We've still got friends and kids and grandchildren. And clients and employees and bosses, and therefore you have to live as if the future is a real thing. You can't sell yourself out and be like, well, I guess there's no future. Oh, well, who cares? And plenty of people are doing it. Plenty of people are doing it, including people in high tech. They're realizing that they've fucking burned it. They've burned the future. They have cashed in. Some of the most knowledgeable among them have determined that they have cashed in. And on behalf of all of us, we little people cannot afford to live like this. We cannot just say, I've got my platinum parachute. I don't really care what happens. They can all go piss on themselves. Sam Altman can live in his bat cave with his $4 million car. But we can't live in our bat cave with our $4 million car. And for you, despite all of this outer activity described in your chart, the most important thing involves staying grounded in the developing story of who you are and who you are awakening to be. And though in the fourth this presents as a spiritual, as a emotional quest, a quest for security, the spiritual part of Capricorn tends to be hidden. It tends to be a bit unreal. This is kind of like the crusty practicality of Capricorn and the like spiritual materialism that Trungpa Rinpoche talked about can very deeply affect Capricorn. And that's because the actual spirituality is concealed in the 12th house. Now you could say, well, that's where it belongs, but put the spirituality in the 12th house. But it's very hard to reach there. It's very hard to access there. And it's very hard to believe it's real when it's lurking back in the 12th house. When God seems to be hidden away somewhere. So let that out. And one of the ways you're letting that out is, as mentioned a moment ago, the ruler of Sagittarius, this hidden spiritual realm, ruled by Jupiter, is right where you can see it, right now. And for a while, it's going to continue to be in very good form, at least into the summer of 2027, as Jupiter makes its way into Virgo. That's a whole new story, but there too, it is accessible in a sense, kind of as a science of spirituality, more than an act of some immediate faith and or the grasping of what you might think is true. And look, this is very hard times for anything to be true. The entire concept of true is going away. And this is really quite, I think, trying. And look, I feel it as the leader in my other life, like right at all, well, even sitting here, this is exactly where I sit doing Planet Waves FM, where I basically sort out the events of the world with the help of some very good people who are feeling just as shaken as you are. And it takes us work to figure out what is going on. And we can't be doing this alone. We just can't be doing this alone. You need help figuring out what is real, what is true, because something is. And ultimately, for Capricorn, for you, Cap, Sun, Moon, Rising, Chiron, it's going to come down to you have to be real and find the elements, the aspects of yourself that are undoubtedly real so that you can stay with that and then be able to provide a kind of a root and grounding. I mean, I really struggled in the awakening to delineate the fourth house for Capricorn. I went through my chart files and started looking up people who were Capricorn rising with planets in the fourth house. And I am now seeing that the simple elegance of this, to have Aries on the fourth house, is about being grounded in who you are, in self-knowledge, and as Lou Reed said, the freedom of who you are. All right. I think we're good. Check out the Aries reading, please. That's included for everyone. So too is the meeting. So too is a general introduction. I am deeply requesting that people find out your rising sign and do the rising sign on my readings so you have a second viewpoint that you can say that, yeah, that's mine. I am such and such sun and such rising, so that you have a second viewpoint so that you can shift and have a second interpretation, a second set of possibilities, literally a second reading of the same chart from a whole new viewpoint, in case there's something that doesn't answer a question, that doesn't work out, that doesn't bring you up to the level of who you're making contact within yourself. But it feels good to connect with that facet of Capricorn. All of this Aries is awakening from this digital dream and awakening to who you are and who you always were. Okay, signing off from, let's just put the chart away here. That's good. Yeah, signing off from Harshaw House. What is that back there? Oh, that is... what is that? Oh, that's the picture of Kingston hanging over my desk. I didn't recognize the bricks. That's Kingston photographed. Very nice photo. I picked it up at an auction for an art festival. The view of Kingston from City Hall. And I used to live... I can't reach it. Back and to the left. What are those bricks doing there? Okay, so signing off from Harshaw House. Thanks for your business and your trust. Bye for now.